Back here at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. It's our second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're here until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. This very frustrating Labor Day. I know Bobby's speaking for a lot of LSU fans when he said what he said earlier. And, it's just a matter of, Brian Kelly, from top to bottom, the LSU Tigers spit the bit last night in Las Vegas. And, Coach Kelly comes into LSU, he wants to run the football program like a business. But, I don't see the business attitude right now, Coach. I if you're unable to get plays in the huddle right after a timeout, or defensive breakdowns in the secondary when you're coming off the worst defensive season ever, and basically forgetting that Kyron Lacy was carrying the team in the first half because John Emery had a couple of big runs in the second half, is not what I'm calling good business. And stupid penalties, like taking off your helmet after a massive fourth down stop, dancing in the end zone like a bunch of damn fools after a touchdown that allowed USC to get a big kickoff return, and an absolutely devastating targeting call that set up the final USC touchdown to win the game, does not speak to any of us in the LSU fan nation as a business attitude. And, and that was especially more important because it seemed like the officials in the game yesterday made a point to swallow their whistles whenever USC committed a penalty at certain points. And, Brian Kelly can go and spout out and pound the table at the press conferences about being angry with the team and
fake to
and
me,
having
I don't
to do
know.
Better. But
that looked like fake. You're just trying to say, oh, look, he really cares. Look, he's pounding the table. I don't know. That looked fake to me, Big John.
Yeah, I'm not about performative outrage, okay? And, look, 3 years in a row now, and Coach Kelly is now 0-3 in season openers. I will say this. We weren't playing like Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Ole Miss, winning by 60 points over some cupcake for the first game. We've been playing, major interconference games. But, every one of those players that cost us stupid penalties should be running gassers. But, that's fixing the barn door after the horse got out. I mean, some of these players look very much like individuals on the field rather than team players. And that's something for which Brian Kelly, the so-called no-nonsense coach, is responsible. Now, I know I should not sugarcoat it too much, but I was pretty pissed off yesterday.
No, and you know what?
It's frustrating, Big John. I'll be honest. I agree with you.
And, Big John, I thought the difference, when you got him down, you got to keep him down. You can't go back and forth, because you lose those type of games. I thought what was significant in the game and the outcome, LSU, to me, had a chance to take control early in the fourth quarter, if you look at it. USC went for it on 4th and 9. I go, what? That's pretty aggressive. They went for it on 4th and 9 from LSU's 37-yard line. Then Savion Jones, who had an outstanding game, he deflected the pass to force a turnover and downs. But, we should put the pedal to the metal offensively, but on the ensuing possession, LSU went 3 and out for the second time in the game. I mean, Mike, when that happens,
you can't expose your defense, which has deficiencies, back on the field. This is where your offense has to sort of take control. And I thought believed they could run the ball and take control, and that didn't happen.
And it didn't happen. No, when you're 31 and you lose yardage or you can't get a first down. I mean, come on. The LSU got humbled in the trenches. Mike, the offensive line coach, I wish I'd be in that damn meeting with the offensive line. And then, everybody's feeling good about themselves. You got a lot of experience. I'm an NFL player and all that. But, what are you doing now? Well, not what you're going to do against Nicholls State. And then with South Carolina. Let's say LSU goes on a roll against Nicholls State and South Carolina. South Carolina barely beat Old Dominion. What was that? About 5 points? 20-some to 18? 23-18? It was something like that. So I'm just telling you. That's why you got to be a pro. And you have to understand the task at hand. Don't believe your press clippings. You have to almost be like you're pissed off against the world. And just go take that approach and go.
The crazy part about it is, and Charlie and I did a show, Will Campbell, I'd never heard him talk in that tone before about this is a business trip for us and we're going to punch him in the mouth. We didn't see. Well,
there ain't no damn punch
there
in the
was
mouth.
No punch in the mouth.
Run game. Now, because you're speaking for the whole offensive line, they got to work in continuity. I mean, all together. As far as, listen, if you're a kick-ass offensive line, to me, if at times you're outnumbered, okay, and then that could be a problem. But if it's man-to-man and you look at scheme and everything, Mike.
They didn't get no push.
No, you should get a push and fall forward for 3 or 4 yards. And then you're not going backwards or no yards. That's why I'm telling you I was disappointed when all happened with that. But I look at – that's when I was a little worried, Mike, when I said that, Big John, that sequence – when all of a sudden they going forward on 4th and 9, I'm saying, screw USC. You're going to be that bravado and all that. We're going to go forward. We're going to stop it. And then you're going to go 3 and out. Come on.
Bob, I was a lot more – I was nervous long before that series, I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched him not being able to take over up front physically where you thought that's where you – that was your strength of your football team, that's where you'd be able to get after a team that had struggled mightily stopping the run.
Okay, then you always talk about, and Big John and Mike and Tiger Nation, you always talk about, okay, halftime adjustments and where you at. In the second half, LSU went 2 of 6 on third down, and they gained 184 yards compared to 240 for USC.
Mm.
I mean, did we have any kind of momentum to finish the game? No, it was on the other side. Right.
And I don't want to take anything away for how those final two drives, how poised, how, man, he looked like he had been in this spot before.
And he looks like
he's a little kid.
He looks like he's in seventh grade. I said, maybe I'm getting old and I got white hair and all now, and I'm talking with my wife. And I'm looking at Moss, and you know, we had the Cajun Cannon restaurant, and we all had a group of friends, and we were watching the game. And I go, man, I guess I'm getting old. That guy looks like he's in junior high. I mean, he was poised, kicking our ass.
And listen, he got beat up quite a bit in that game. He got knocked around.
Well, he was 27 of 36 for 378 yards. And I think LSU's defense played good. He almost threw for 400 yards. Yeah, one touch, Mike. And I thought, oh. Did you see like two or three catches? Now listen, if you just like football, and if
you didn't have a dog in the hunt,
I don't care if you're LSU, you could be an LSU fan, and you see, I said, man, that was pretty good coverage. How in the hell he caught that ball? There was two or three USC catches. I was like, I don't know how they caught it, Mike. It was like unbelievable. So you got to give them the props. So that I respect when I see that howling and falling.
Okay, we had one of the USC insiders. He said, as much as I want to talk about Zachariah, I think he's the third best wide receiver on this team.
I think so, Mike.
And at first I was like, whoa. Then I got to see him, and he may be absolutely right. Big John.
Well, Big John and Mike, you talk about Zachariah. Did y'all think like, oh. Oh.
Don't kick him the ball.
He was running back that kickoff all the way. I mean,
the kicker makes the
Yes, I'm like.
Oh, he's going to catch hell for that.
Yeah.
Because I know that dude can flat out fly.
If your day sounds like.
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Big John, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Eric in Mississippi. Eric, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike. How y'all doing today?
All right, Eric.
Hey, one thing I see about Brian Kelly, I watched him at Notre Dame, and he was like a man on fire on the sideline. I mean, up and down, changing plays, making calls. It seemed like he's Ed Orgeron, a clone of him, just sitting on the sideline, all stone-faced it. But one thing I noticed the last couple of years is that the transfer portal has taken place for all his five-star recruits. They're on the bench, Shelton Sampson. You got Javion Toriano on the bench. He lost Quincy Wiggins, a five-star defensive lineman who should be in there right now. He's at Colorado. And I see Texas, Alabama, Auburn, all these teams are playing their five-star freshmen from the back. They're getting in there. They get work in. for the long haul. And you got to get Howard Perkins back on the end. This is criminal what they're doing to him. But first of all, and I'm going to say this last thing, why he's holding back all these five-star recruits that are sitting on the bench. When Kyron, when Hilton went out and Parker, Shelton Sampson should have been the next man up. He's been there for 2 years. Why he's still on the bench?
The whole thing about how many stars you got, five-star, four-star. Mike, who's the individual, the cornerback? Now, he got called for interference, but I think he made some plays.
The rookie from Mississippi, P.J. Woodland.
P.J. Woodland. Okay, what was he, a two- or three-star?
He's a three-star guy.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he leaves school, and then he's
at the starting.
Yes, I mean. So that's why I'm not calling.
Okay, what star were you when you came out?
No stars. I mean, come on, I didn't even play quarterback. I was like a free safety that they just put me at quarterback because Andy Martin was just going to sprint out and run, even though the receiver was open. Said we could throw a little bit, we might have a chance. So, no, that's why how you develop and where you go year after year.
No, if LSU gives you a scholarship, you're a damn good player.
Hey, the bottom line is this. Is that when you have an opportunity, I don't care how many stars you have, when you have an opportunity, this could be in the NFL. If you're a free agent, look at Marcus Colston where he was drafted. You look at anybody, when you have an opportunity, what do you do with that opportunity? Because if you don't take advantage, they'll sweep you under the rug and they'll move on. So it's up to you. So that's why when I was like, oh, I saw him play in junior high and little league and high school and he was unbelievable. I don't know. He might have been shaving in ninth grade. And he ain't never going to get bigger or whatever. I didn't have a hair on my body when I was almost 16 years old. So, I mean, it's like when you look at how you develop and players, when you have an opportunity to put you in there, what are you going to do with that opportunity?
Like John, and I thought he played well yesterday, John Emery. He was a five-star recruit coming out of Destrehan.
What, does that mean he's going to play in the NFL? I don't know. You're going to have bad luck with injuries and all that. He looks like he's running hard and all that. Man, they don't give a what you did in high school. What you can do in college and you go on to the NFL because everybody wants to get paid. Now college football is like the pros, name, image, and likeness and all that.
You playing the best players today.
Yes, the best players.
Because your job is to win.
Yes, and the bottom line is just win. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. It could be. Listen, you think LSU fans right now, we want local products. Don't we want Louisiana products to kick ass or the Gulf South of Mississippi, Texas, and everything? We wouldn't care if we'd have some dominant guy from Siberia. Could be from freaking Russia. He can't even speak English, but I know what. If he has to block somebody, he's whipping their ass. And that's all I know. You think LSU fans would care where he came from? Come on.
Well, I know you watch the NBA today. You think it matters to them that they're from Serbia or are they from France?
Right.
No, they're picking the best player.
Yeah, yeah.
Or who they think is the best player.
If you have opportunity, take advantage of that.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!